Evening, everyone.
Amen.
Before I start it, I'd like everybody to know this is my first time speaking, so say a prayer for me. All right. My name is Anthony. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 3rd, 2021. My sponsor is Kevin C. Holly Springs here is my home group. I have a service commitment. I assist Ms. Ruth with supplies. I'll start off by letting y'all know that I was born and raised in Waukegan, Illinois. It's about an hour north of Chicago, right next to Great Lakes Naval Base. You know, about the front door of my house, that's Great Lakes Naval Base. I see it every morning. Mom and dad come from a blended family. My mom had five. My dad had three. And he had three more, so it's 11 sisters and brothers all together. Yeah. And I'm the youngest, so by the time I got there, you know, I had brothers and sisters 18 years, 20 years older than me. And this is in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So that was a whole different lifetime ago. Grew up childhood, you know, leave the house after chores, won't get back before the streetlights. You know, that's mom's rule. Streetlights, come on, you got to be in the house. Parents owned a bar, so I had to look around my house all the time. You know, I remember running through the bar, looking from floor to ceiling, you know, playing in the basement. So it was like that, you know, in my household. Mom and dad drank, all my brothers and sisters drank, you know, cousins, everybody drinking around me. So it was just part of my life. Really didn't start drinking anything like that, you know, little sips here and there growing up. But when I got to like 12 years old, you know, my best friend hung herself and I saw it. So that's kind of threw me for a loop there, you know. Then that's when I started, you know, drinking a little bit more, sneaking drinks, you know, taking drinks to school and stuff like that. After that, you know, it was just pretty much slid through high school. You know, they say if I go back to high school, I would. I don't. I did not care for high school not one bit. I just didn't, you know, I didn't. So high school, I went to college, to St. Louis. That's where my parents is from, my mom is from. So I go from my mom's house to my grandmama's house. And it was just all my cousins and everybody down there. So every weekend, I'm going out to the county and partying and partying and partying and partying. So after college, I said, you know, let me come back home for a summer. I don't think I should have did that, y'all. So after that party of summer, got a job, met my girlfriend, had the first child. So that was part of that. I don't want to get too deep in that because that's a whole other episode. Had a child, working, partying still. 2 years later, had my daughter. That was a whole episode there where I had my girlfriend at the time, you know, two kids, you know, working and all this other stuff. And she's in one ear. You know, I had my mom in the other ear telling me what I'm doing wrong and I'm doing everything wrong and everything wrong. So, you know, I didn't want to hear it no more. So I took a handful of pills and committed suicide. Woke up in the hospital, chained to the bed. Doctor told me my enzyme levels was 7 times normal in my liver. I should have died. But I didn't. God kept me here for a reason. So after that, you know, I took a little break. You know, maybe 6 months or so. Didn't do too much nothing. You know, came back gradually. You know, was drinking a little beer here and there. And then I found drugs. And that's when I went down the rabbit hole. I went down the rabbit hole for 20 years, actually. You know, everything from, don't want to get too much of it, but it was hard drugs, you know, cocaine, all this different stuff like that. Having kids, you know, building a family, working every day, you know, taking kids to baseball practice and everything like that. You know, I was living, you know, had cars, house, everything like that. You know, life was going on, you know. Then had, you know, my fourth child, you know, my wife got married then. And, you know, so settled down now and try to relax now, and trying to grow up a little bit, you know, and then I did, you know. Things were really getting good there, you know, but I was still partying. It wasn't as hard as I was, but I was still partying, you know, because the obligations came. And I always try to take care of the obligations first, but I always made time for my obligations was my alcohol and drugs. And that was just part of my lifestyle at the time. So another child came, my son. So something hit me then where I didn't want to be like my brothers was, you know, wanting in the kids' lives and stuff like that, you know, doing the drugs and all the hard stuff and all that. And I wasn't with all of that. So when my son got here, I went into rehab at the Salvation Army. I did 6 months stay there and got clean. You know, it wasn't the program, but I found church. I found my church, so I leaned on God. And I was clean for a year and a half, almost 2 years, you know, and church 3 days a week, you know, and everything, life was really good then. You know, I really enjoyed life, you know. Kids was growing up healthy and everything like that. Until about 13 years ago, my mom passed away. And then a week later, my sister passed away. And you got to understand something. This is a sister that I grew up with in the house with. I see her every day. You know, she's my big sister, you know. And my brain just went off. I just couldn't comprehend that, you know. And I did not lean on my God like I should have. And my brain just shut down. I shut down, pretty much. That's what it was. I just shut down. And that's when that alcohol and the drugs just consumed me, consumed everything about me, you know. I was still working, still taking care of the household, still taking care of the kids, you know, making sure that everybody was doing what they got to do. But all my free time surrounded around my drugs and my alcohol. If it wasn't my kids or my wife or the household, I was somewhere tore up from the floor up. And that's what was part of, that's how I got to, that's part of my life. That's what it was for the last 13 years, you know, well, 12 years to last year. Then about 7 years ago, my wife's mom moved to Phoenix. So she said she want to be closer to her mom. And okay, let's go, you know. The only thing about moving, you take yourself there. And I found it out, literally. I literally found that out. Wherever you go, you got to take yourself there. But one thing about that move was that I left the drugs alone. But the alcohol just picked up where the drugs were left off. So I just filled that void in with that. I was there in Phoenix 7 years, 6 years, you know, and one thing about that was that I didn't have no family. So talking about isolated, it was just me, work, and my house, and the liquor store. That's all it did, you know, in a matter of if 6 years being there, I had 3 jobs in 6 years, and I always had a job, you know. I mean, a lengthy job. You know, I worked for the government, then I worked for the electrical company. You know, it wasn't like a bouncy job to job. I always had a steady job. But 3 jobs in 6 years, and, you know, and I wasn't healthy. And it got to the point where, you know, I wasn't functioning properly. You know, I really wasn't. And what changed was the fact that my wife, excuse me, said, I need to get the fuck away from her. So I had to leave the house. So, okay. All right. She said she gave me 2 months to do that. So within those 2 months, you know, she get off work and she leave the house, go to her friend's house. Every time I'm at the house, she's not there. She won't be around me now. So I'm sitting by my house. I'm drinking up a storm now. You know, I'm doing a fifth a day and a six pack. Okay. So the last binge I went on, you know, it was a doozy. You know, I had me a couple of fifths, I had me a case of beer. I said, okay, I'm going to sit there and just drink. You know, whatever. So I wake up on the floor. What the hell am I on the floor for? You know? So I turned over and looking around, like my head is just all messed up and everything. And something just clicked in my head was that, you know, I don't want to see my kids see me go out like this. I really don't. So I got up, took a shower. I ain't took a shower about 2 weeks now, y'all. I'm just laying around the house drinking. Took a shower. I made a phone call, gave me some help. So I called the rehab places, called around. And I found one in California. So I went to California for 30 days. That was the change of my life. It got me to this point here now. So When I get to California, the first 2 days, you know, my head is still kind of foggy from the detox. So, but all of a sudden, I was just sitting there, and God put me in that place so I can get quiet because my brain was going 2,000 miles an hour. So he set me down long enough before he could start doing some work with me. And once he did that, and once I realized exactly that, you know what, I need to do this for me. You know, I went intentionally going to do it to save my marriage and save my family. But those 2 days, that's just being the first 2 days, he's like, no, you need to do this for yourself. Quiet down. Quiet your head. So everything just had to stop for me. My wife, my kids, everything just had to stop. I had to focus on me getting healthy. So that's what I focused on. So from that point on forward, I put all my energy and time that I put into my drinking, I put into learning about this disease I have, learning about alcoholism, learning about drugs, learning about my sobriety, learning about spirituality, you know, learning the tools. And I'm trying to fill my toolbox up as much as I can. Because in California, I'm just 30 days there. And 30 days go by quick. And I knew once I left there, I wasn't ready. So I went to a 60-day program. So I did a 90-day program. So I came back to Phoenix, and I got into a 60-day inpatient program. And that's where I learned about me, stuff that I buried 40 years ago. You know, talking to my therapist and stuff like that, that I buried, you know. Like, when I was 12 years old, like I told you, my best friend passed, and I buried, I ain't told nobody that. I forgot about that, you know, but it was part of my pain, you know, and I just never thought of it as like that, you know. And like when I was 9, my dad got stabbed at the bar, you know. I forgot about stuff like that, you know, and talking that stuff up helps the healing process, start the healing process, and I'm learning that stuff now. And therapy, for whatever, who needs it, I needed it. I needed it. It helped me get on a track where I know I need. I hold stuff in, it's what eats me up. And I learned that in therapy. Because, I mean, I could keep stuff in my head and bounce around there 100 and keep going. And that's what keeps me sick. And I learned that. So I get back to Phoenix and I start my program there. I'm learning it. I'm going to all the classes and I'm participating. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. Because I know once I step outside them doors, the world is still out there. I'm in a safe place. And in therapy, I'm safe there. But the world is not stopping. So I'm trying to get as much as I can while I'm there. So I can prepare myself for when I get up out of there. You know, and people say, well, you take this too serious. I said, no. Listen, this is my life. And I went about that. This is my life. I'm going to finish my life like this. So I'm going to take this as serious as I can. And people around there laughing and joking. Well, you too serious? I said, well, you know what? I had some fun 6 months down the road. But right now, this is just too much for me. I need to get this down packed. So that's how I approached that. While in therapy, you know, my wife said she wanted to get a divorce. Okay. You know, like 2 days, I just, you know, kind of shunned off and fell into my program and just concentrated on my program on that part. And I said, okay, it is what it is, you know. I'm taking it one day at a time. And you know, one thing that my sponsor there told me, he said, don't get ahead of yourself. Just slow everything down. Because me, I know me, I take things and run 2,000 miles an hour and I go. And my brain gonna keep going. And that's a future tripping. And I know it. I'm seeing things that's not even there. So that's why I just got to slow everything down. And that's just part of my program now. I finished my 60 days there. I did my 90-90s. I got my sponsor. You know, I did everything he asked me to do. You know, and it was to the point where I didn't know I needed the help. And whatever he suggested wasn't crazy. He just knew I needed the help. And he knew how to help me. So I had a very good sponsor about that. You know, he has 17 years of sobriety. So, you know, he knew what he was talking about. That's why I looked at that. You know, he knows something. So I finished my 60 days there. You know, I have nowhere to go. You know, and can't go home. And I didn't want to stay in Phoenix because there really was nothing there for me. So my sister opened a home here in Georgia, right here in Canton. So I packed my little belongings, hopped on a plane, I came here. The second day I arrived here, I came through these doors right here. Second day I got here. I stayed with my sister a little over 4 months, almost 5 months. It wasn't healthy, but you know, I had my program. And I worked my program very, very, every day, hard up in that house because her husband drinks. And one day, you know, he had some words and I had some words. And well, I could show you how to work a program. Oh, I said, man, you can't show me nothing about how to drink. And I got that down pat already. you can't show me that. So, you know, and we came to an understanding. You know what? You do you. Just let me work my program. And we cool like that. And that's fine. Got out of there. Let me stop that then. When I first got here, I had a job before I got here. I had made a point to get me a job before I left Phoenix. So God provided before I even got here. So I got here, had a job, you know, working every day and all that good stuff like that. You know, and like I said, once after 4 months, I got me an apartment. You know, I got permanent in January with the company. You know, and this company is like a West Coast International multi-million dollar company. And the branch I work at, they got $1 million worth of things there, and they gave me keys to open up every morning. Me, of all me, you know. But yeah, you know, I like what I do. I love my job, you know. You know, I'm back in receiving. They let the guy run the whole department back there now. You know, yeah. That part of my life is really, really healthy and is good, and I like what I do. You know, after I got my apartment, you know, coming here, working my program, working with Kevin, you know, after 22 years, I got my driver's license back. Check that out. 22 years. It took sobriety to get my driver's license back because before sobriety, I didn't care. It was more important thing to get my driver's license. You know, I make it. You know, if I got to walk to the store, I walk to the store. You know, that's what it was. But it took for me to get sobriety to learn that I need to grow up. It's time to stand on my own 2 feet. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, and like I was telling Denise the other day, you know, we're working in part of the book now, the family afterwards. And I'm living that life right now. Literally, I'm living that part of this book. That's my life right now. Separate from my wife. Everybody, I'm on my spiritual part of my life now. The other family isn't on that part of the journey with me yet. You know, so that's fine. You know, but that's fine. I made my amends to my kids. You know, my daughter's getting married next October. She got me walking down the aisle. You know. Got me a brand new car, you know. It's just so much that I've learned in this past year and a half that 40 years is just the madness that I was into, because I call it madness, because that's all it was, a bunch of madness that, you know, how a person can change within a year and a half from what I was to what I am now is that I haven't seen my sister in over a year. And I've seen her 2 months ago. She's like, Anthony, you even look different. I'm like, still my same face. I said, no, but you look different. There's something about the way you carry yourself now. You know, and I never thought about that like that, you know. And like Mr. Roy said, you know what? I should be proud of myself. Because I was taking things so serious that I didn't have time to enjoy what I'm doing. My sobriety. I wasn't enjoying my sobriety. I said, I want to get this right. And that's, I was just, everything's got to be right. You know, I'm trying to get better and get better. But I wasn't enjoying my sobriety. So I had to step back and slow things down again. Because me, I get caught ahead of myself. So, now it's to the point where now is that one day at a time, you know, and Mr. Rick told me something that I think about every day. He said, People say, work your program. He said, live your program. So I live part of my program every day. There's something that I take out of my program to work, to the store, to anywhere I go. Some part of my program goes with me. And I owe that to this. I owe that to AA. And one thing I learned that AA, for me, is just not one, that's one part of it. See, I'm spiritual, but I'm a Christian. So I put AA and I put my Bible together and made me a stronger foundation. So that's what I got with me now every day. You know, I get up in the morning, I put on my spiritual music, I read my Bible, I read some of my big book, I do my yoga. You know, I do things I have never done before in my life. You know, and it got me to a word now, I'm off my high blood pressure medicine. You know what I'm saying? No, God is awesome, y'all. No, man, no things like, I think about things like that nowadays. Before, I wouldn't even cross my mind. You know? You wouldn't even cross up things like that, that the little things in life right now I enjoy. You know, when I get up in the morning, you know, and I open my door, I hear birds now. You know, I was too busy. My brain was going too fast to hear things like that. But yeah, life today is just different. That's the best way of me to put it. It's different. It's God-given. You know, my wife came here Saturday. She's going to spend a month with me. And we see if we're going to try to make this marriage work. You know, and she still drinks. She still smokes marijuana. But I told her, listen, I'm not going to get a double inch in my house. So before you come out here, you got to realize some things have just changed about me. And I'm not going to let it go on in my house. Because this is my house. You know, I take care of this. This is my peace. I found some peace in my life. Ain't nobody on this earth ever going to take that away from me ever again. Because I mean, waking up and don't mind getting up in the morning. Enjoy getting up, getting ready to go to work. I enjoy that. You know, I look forward to going to work. You know, it's a dread. Man, I got to get up and go to this place. I look forward to going to work. I like getting up in the morning. You know, doing my yoga and getting moving around a little bit, you know. She's been in society, you know, it's been a couple of days, you know, and like I said, she had a meeting the other day, you know, we ain't seen each other in over a year and a half, so it's just, we get to know each other again. Because she's living two different lifestyles. But yeah, you know, I'm taking that one day at a time. I'm going with an open mind. I open my heart up a little bit, but I'm going with no expectations this time. Because expectations get your feelings hurt real fast. I learned that the hard way. But yeah, my kids support me, you know. From day one, they were like, "Dad, we just want you to get better. That's all we want you to do is just get better. You know, we love you. We just don't like you." I mean, that came out their mouth. They told me the truth. So, and you know, when I made my amends to them, you know, I was scared, you know, because I wasn't there like I should have been, you know. But I told them, I said, listen, excuse me, I know what I did. I explained to them what I did. I said, that anything that you need that I can do to make things better. I can't do nothing about the past, but I'm making the future better. Just let me know how I can do that. If there's anything I can do to make things better for you, to make our relationship better, just let me know. If I can do it, I will do it. And when I said that, one of my daughters started crying, you know, with the emotions that she's like, man, Dad, thank you, you know, and just thank you, you know, for saying that too, that, you know, we love you, but we were scared for it. We were scared that you weren't going to be here. So now it's to the point where now that, you know, when I first got sober, they was checking on me every week. You hit your meeting, you hit that, you hit that. See, now it's every other week or every third week or something like that, you know, and because they was on top of me. They wanted to make sure I was doing what I had to do. And I said, I'm doing what I got to do, you know. But one thing I learned that about myself on this journey, that I can't isolate myself. Because if I do that, I can hurt myself really quick. I can go back to old nature like that. And one thing I learned when I did my fourth step and fifth step, when I read that defects of character, I got sick in the head, in my stomach. I just couldn't believe that was me. When I read that, and I was just like, really? This is how you living? That changed me. And some things I told my sponsor that I never told nobody in my life. I never thought I would tell anybody in my life. You know, and I could tell the thing when I did my inventory was that he took me to the cigar place, and it wasn't no room, so they gave us their inventory room. So I did my inventory in their inventory room. this journey it's been a journey, you know. This past year, you know, December 18th, you know, of last year, I was in a rollover car accident, you know. And my first inclination was, after everybody was okay, was call my sponsor. Let them know I was okay, you know. And before, I would have, man, I need a drink. That would be the first thing I'd, you know, man, my nerves are shot. God removed that from me. I was working my program. It was just, it's part of my life now that my first thing was, I need to call Kevin. To let him know I'm okay. I need to talk to somebody. I need to talk to my sponsor. So I called him I need to hear his voice. So let me know this program still works. That somebody, my sponsor's still there. He still has my back. But yeah, you know, that kind of changed the whole perspective on life itself, because that instant, me, my sister, my niece could have been dead. So from that day forward, I'm taking life not so serious. I'm going to enjoy part of my program now. You know, I enjoy my program. You know, I don't mind talking about AA. I don't. When I got my first year, my daughter sent me flowers at work. For my 1 year, and they was like, what's this for? Oh, my 1 year sobriety. I was happy to say it. I was, you know. I had no problem talking about it. It saves my life. And it's just coming to these meetings. And hear some of the knowledge that the old timers can give me, and see the newcomers come in to let me know that the devil's still doing push-ups out there. You know, I'm vigilant on my program. I got to stay on top of my program. You know, I don't get me wrong. You know, some days it's harder than others, but that's just part of life. You know, like they say, you got to live life on life terms. So, and I try to do that to the best of my ability. You know, some days you slack off, that's fine, but I make up for it in other ways. But yeah, it's this lifestyle that I'm living now is amazing. You know, just a short period of time, how life can change by just doing the right next thing. You know, you ain't got to make the next 5-6 steps. Just do the next step, one step at a time, one day at a time. You know, and don't get ahead of yourself. You know, and if you need help, ask for help. You know, because growing up, I was proud. Man, I could take care of myself. No, I couldn't. It got to the point with me being on the floor drunk that I realized I couldn't take care of myself. My life had got that unmanageable that I could not take care of myself. That my wife and kids didn't want no parts of me. That's how unmanageable my life had gotten. And it took me for me to get myself the help that I needed. I couldn't do it for nobody else. Could nobody do it for me? Had to take care of this myself. Had to fess up, grow up, and be a man about this, and ask for help. And I got the help I needed. And I get the help I needed every time I come in through these rooms. You know, talking to the old timers, the newcomers, and you know, and hearing the knowledge that comes through here. Because, like they say, there's nothing new under the sun. It's really not. You know, it's just a different twist to it. You know, everybody has their own story, their own storyline, everything like that. But there's nothing new under the sun. And one thing I like to read out of the big book that got me through my first 90 days was this. Page 417. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, or thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, or thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. That changed my perspective. I got to accept as it is, when it is. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's term, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world, on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. I used to read that every day. And my attitude was the fact that everything revolved around me. It was my world, and y'all were just in it. And once God started doing some work in me, that changed completely. I did a 180. Like, no, who the hell are you? You're not that special. So that part of my attitude changed. And like, you know what, Anthony? You're right. You're right. I'm really not that special. You know, I'm not doing nothing extraordinary. You know, what? What am I doing? And it got to a point where I had to take a really look good in the mirror and realize, okay, Anthony, you really screwed up a lot of things in your life. Make amends while I still can. So that's what my mission is, try to make as many amends as I can. Some I can't. You know, I wrote a letter to my mom. I wrote a letter to my sister. I still got to write one to my brother and my dad. But I will get there. It's a process. It's a process. I've learned that. Baby steps I have to. But today, I don't mind looking myself in the mirror. You know what? I'm all right with looking myself in the mirror today, and that feels good. You know, like, you know what? I'm okay today. I'm okay today. For right now, I'm okay. When I get up in the morning, all right, Anthony, let's do it again. You know, one day at a time. You know, don't overthink things, because my alcoholic brain, man. Like before I got up here last week, my brain's just going overthinking this whole process. I'm like, man, I'm gonna talk for 45 minutes, man. This is crazy. And you know, and then, you know, and I'm talking to people in the meetings, and they're like, Anthony, quit overthinking this. It's, you know, that's just my brain, my alcoholic brain, you know. So Thursday. I said, you know what, God, I surrender this to you. So after that point, I was good. I had a little nerves when I got up here, but I'm good. You know, I'm good. You know, I gave a lot of my stuff to God these days. You know, I do what I can do. I give the rest of it to God. You know, that's my higher power, my God. But yeah, man, life is awesome. AA is awesome. You know, the people in AA is awesome. My sponsor is awesome. You know, thanks for letting me share.